Well, folks, it has been a joy for us to be here. Pastor, is there the little clip, Mike? Not tonight. Okay. It's been a joy for us to be here. Folks, your hospitality is great. Really, Scott and Sally have provided wonderful housing for us. Pastor, the meal today was great. Julie did a fantastic job. And we got to even be part of, Blake's birthday? Yes, and that was good. A chocolate cake with peanut butter frosting. All right. So we were, that's a blessing. So it's just a blessing for us. We wish we could be here next week to see Jim and Carol and their presentation. We're going to be at Blissfield Baptist in Southern Michigan, one of our supporting churches there. So otherwise we'd be here and to see them and hear them. We were with the Canackles, I think, three times. The church took us on. We were here for a missions conference in the mid-1990s, either 94 or 95. And I think we stayed with the Canackles for the first three times we were here. And this is really the second time, you know, we've been with Scott and Sally at their place, too. So it's we have a long history from that standpoint here. So please greet the Canackles for us. We wish we could see them again. Something that I was hoping to talk about this morning, but really the questions were so great I didn't even get to it. In 2010, really 2009, Darcy had the desire to produce a ladies' devotional book in Portuguese for our Brazilian gals. And there's so many options here in the United States for ladies' devotional books. There's nothing in Brazil. And she came to me with the, you know, a possibility of doing that. And I said, well, sweetheart, you are homeschooling our children. Plus, we have the ministry. And it's just, you know, if you find someone to help you with this, you know, it'd be a blessing. And so she did. So Darcy and Karen Swedberg, our colleague, got together and produced this devotional book. They had the Ladies of Baptist Admission submit ladies' devotionals in Portuguese, and they're all here, and what a blessing it is. So in 2010, this was published. 2020 came around, and they're like, boy, we should do another book, you know, but really, a book wasn't necessarily the route to go this time. So what they decided to do is do a website. Now, neither Darcy nor Karen are very tech savvy, so they really needed a lot of help, and what came to be was, there were two gals from the seminary, really Pastor Yudi's wife, Cynthia, and then another gal from the seminary, seminary grad, that helped Darcy, and then Lada was a huge help on so much of this as well. And they started they asked the ladies of Baptist Missions again, and then other Brazilian pastors' wives to submit ladies' devotionals. One of our colleagues is of retirement age. She's probably in her mid-70s right now, Dolores Woods, and she works in Jewish ministry in the city of São Paulo. And she had 59 devotionals on Old Testament women and 27 devotionals on New Testament women that she would give primarily individually with Jewish ladies to help lead them to Christ. And what a wonderful resource. We got all of those. And, you know, when the website came to be, got launched in January, we started putting up those devotionals, I think one a week. And so just a steady stream of ladies' devotionals. But something that was interesting, when the website launched, she went on her phone, and her phone translated that into English. So all these are, I mean, just professionally done in Portuguese. And the English oftentimes is pretty spot on. Other times, grammatically, there are some things that are just a little goofy, but just realize this is Google Translator taking Portuguese and translating it into English. And some of the names didn't translate. So in Portuguese, Hannah, the mother of Samuel, is Ana, A-N-A. So that, you know, you'd have to look at it and try to translate yourself, you know, that type of thing. But for the most part, they were coming up translated. Now, I think that's possible still to do that. I think it's on the website, and it's also, Darcy will do it on Facebook. And just a wonderful resource for Brazilian ladies, because it's funny, we talk about this book, and gals here in the States say, hey, is that available in English? No, it's not. Sorry about that. But these new devotionals coming on, and once the copyright is off on this, then we can start adding these to that as well. to the website. So just a wonderful blessing, exciting. Ladies, if you would like the link to that, just maybe sign up for that on our for our prayer letter update. Just put something about ladies' devotional on there, and we'll send you the link to that, and we'll be glad to get that to you. So there are things that we do that are very local church-focused as we plant churches, but things that have an impact all throughout Brazil and really the Portuguese-speaking world, you know, as you know, we have opportunities that way. So what a blessing that has been. So I wanted to share that with you folks. All right, well, let's open our Bibles to 2 Corinthians 3. And we're going to focus on verses 5 and 6, 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we ask that you would open our hearts, and Lord, I pray that the preaching of your word, the preaching of divine truth would penetrate our hearts and lives. And Lord, it would meet the greatest spiritual need. And that, Lord, we would make spiritual decisions of growth. Lord, bless in a special way. We pray this for your honor and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's look at verse 5 again. Not that we are sufficient, in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. And as you look at this, the idea here is we're not sufficient to take credit for something God has done. And there was something in the middle of our last furlough that happened in our furlough ministry, which appalled me, really scared me. I started taking credit for something God had done. And to describe how that even happened, let me just tell you how it is that we produce our video presentations. You saw this morning our video presentation. But that video presentation starts 6 months before our furlough. So we have a scheduled furlough 6 months before Darcy and I will get together, and we will work up a first draft of this video presentation. And at first we're like, boy, what are we even going to talk about? Because we're so focused on the individual trees of current ministry that we're not seeing the forest of 4 years, or this last term was 5 years of ministry. So we'll go back and read our prayer letter updates. And from those prayer updates, we're able to see how the Lord worked in each step of the process during this church plant. And what a blessing that is. And Darcy will just in longhand write out a first draft. Then I take that into my office and I'll enter that into the computer, and I'll rearrange things, take some things out, add some things, and work it up into a script. And then from that, I'll go ahead and assign pictures to phrases and get all that set. And then we go and take that script to a studio to record the audio. Now, this time we recorded it in Presidential Prudential. We found a man that would record that for us. And we went to his studio, and it was a dank, dirty studio. But the audio was awesome that he produced for us. It was very interesting. But we had to be there. He couldn't edit it for us. He didn't know English, so we had to stay with him. So we were there for an hour and a half. We recorded, and then we went through and had that audio all set at the end of that hour and a half. So we take the script, the audio, and the picture file, and send that off to someone to produce the video for us. And this time it was one of Karina's friends at Maranatha Baptist University. And this young man took all those things, added music to it, and then produced our video. A month later, he sent us the file. And we're watching this video presentation, and every single time this happens, we'll look at our video presentation for the first time, and our eyes will well up with tears, and tears will run down our cheeks. We're in awe of what the Lord has done. It is just the most amazing thing. And it's that way as we present it in our churches, and we see it, and we're just like, wow, look at what the Lord has done. Wow, look at what the Lord has done. But in the middle of our last furlough, what happened, it went from, wow, look at what the Lord has done, to, wow, look at what we did. Wow, look at what I did. Because on our last furlough, we were coming back after our church graduated self-supporting status. You remember the blue church building? Victory Baptist in Osvaldo Cruz has its own beautiful building, its own faithful pastor, its own thriving congregation. And what I did is I started taking credit for something God has done. Look at this verse 5 again. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything is coming from us. We are not sufficient to take credit for something God has done. And it scared me. It scared me that thought was germinating in my heart. And I thought, Lord, give me wisdom on how to cure this. Because I don't want this. And the Lord just gave me wisdom. I took a 3x5 card and wrote these two verses on it. And I pray through them every single day. And that gives me divine perspective. Divine perspective on what God is doing through us. What a blessing. But let's look at our verse again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything is coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God. And this is the key. Our sufficiency is from God. I think of our son Warren and his wife Lada. They're in their first term as missionaries in Brazil. I don't know of a new couple going to the field that has the advantages that they have. Neither one will pass through the discouragement of language acquisition. Neither one will pass through the frustration of culture shock. Neither one will be totally wiped out by the heat and presidential prudenti. Because basically in May of 2020, when they arrived on the field, they were coming home. Lada was born in Brazil, in a city just 3 hours from where we're serving in Presidente Prudente. Warren was 4 and a half when we arrived on the field in January 1997, and he was 10 when we arrived in Osvaldo Cruz in the region of Presidente Prudente. We challenged them to remember their divine calling. According to Acts 13:2, God has separated them for the work whereunto He has called them. Therefore, they need to depend upon God's sufficiency and not their own. Their abilities will not suffice apart from the power of God operating in their lives. And during this first term, they will be tested as Satan tries to discourage them. If experience is any guide, they'll pass through some major trials during this first term. As you pray for us, please remember to pray for them. Well, the very first trial happened last year in July. We got a call from Warren on a Monday saying that he said, Dad, I want to take Lada and I want to take you and Mom out for supper tomorrow night. I thought, well, this is great. You know, we accepted, and I told Darcy, I said, Warren and Lada want to take us out for supper tomorrow night. I said, I think they have news for us. And Darcy said, no, they don't have news for us. I think they do. You know, so we got to the restaurant, we ordered our meal, and right after we ordered, Warren announced that they were expecting their first child. And we were so excited. And then Warren made this comment. He said, Dad, you and Mom have no luck with grandkids. With the first 3 grandkids, you were in Brazil when they were born, and now you're going to be in the States on furlough while this baby's born here in Brazil. You know, so that was Warren's perspective on that. But just a few short days later, Warren called and said they went in for an ultrasound, and regular ultrasound, and they couldn't find a heartbeat. And it appeared that Lada had miscarried. And she needed to go into the hospital, and she was in for a couple of days to deal with the miscarriage. And they were certainly sad and brokenhearted, but really Lada bounced back relatively quickly. It was a sad time, but, you know, for the most part, Lada was within a few weeks back serving in the ministry there at Calvary Baptist Church. Well, one of the things that we needed to do in preparation for our furlough was move all of our household goods to the apartment in the new church building. And really all of our worldly possessions just about are up there. Some of the things had to go to Warren and Lada's house. So my office went to Warren's office in his house. So the apartment wasn't ready yet. We had the movers all lined up. So we went ahead and had made the move of my office things and the piano to Warren and Lada's house. So very interesting. We made that move, and you know, Warren has my 4 bookcases full of Bible commentaries and theological books. And it's very interesting, if you do a Zoom call with Warren right now, he's on my really nice desk, where he had a folding table before. He has my bookshelves behind him, so he has his computer there, and with my bookshelves behind him, he looks very erudite. And Warren, before this, only had a small stack of books, but he has Logos, so he just doesn't need all the books that I had. But he has all of my books, and praise the Lord, you know, and he's actually liking my library, which is fun, you know, too. So I miss it. But when we were making that move, I noticed that Lotta was just sitting on the couch, just very quiet. And I asked her how she was doing. She said she was fine. But that night we got a call. Warren said that Lotta had a fever. And the doctor said it seems like there's an infection from the miscarriage. And they were going to have to process the procedure all over again. So Lotta went into the hospital. This time she was in for a whole week as they dealt with the infection. And we were really considering putting off our furlough for 6 months until a lot of recuperating and make sure she was okay. But again, she bounced back relatively quickly, a lot slower this time than it was the first time. But the Lord just made it clear that we needed to go on furlough. And Warren and Lotta were great with that, and they were fine. But this is just the first trial that they've gone through that way. And, you know, there have been a number of MKs, you know, missionary kids that have come back to the field. They've you know, gotten married. They've raised all of, you know, joined the mission, raised all their support, came back to the field. You know, one couple didn't even make it through their first term. And another couple made it all the way through their first term, but didn't come back after furlough. And then another couple came back after furlough, but didn't stay very long into their second term. And it's just so sad to see every missionary agency has an aging missionary population. Baptist Mission started in the northern part of Brazil in 1935. And there are some cities in the northern part of Brazil that, you know, the missionary planted church and that church planted other churches. And those churches planted other churches. And there are areas that are mature as far as missions goes. They have no need for missionaries. Well, southern Brazil isn't like that, what we serve. The fact is, we need, on the Brazil field, we need God-called missionaries. And what a blessing it is. And Warren and Lotta are just the exception. They're this young couple on the field. We have so few young couples, and we have so many older couples that are now retiring. And it's just a very difficult time as far as missions is concerned. Let's continue on. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 3. Let's read verse 5 again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as of ourselves. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to claim anything as coming from us. I'm sorry, I'm reading this through the ESV. I usually preach this from the King James, so I'm going back and forth in my own mind. But our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Very interesting here that we see that God is our sufficiency and He makes us sufficient to be ministers of the New Testament, of the New Covenant. And there are teams that will come down and pastors, and what a blessing it is. They can preach in English and will translate their messages into Portuguese for our people to understand. And every so often we'll get a comment something like this: Chris, I can never do what you do. Because they're just in awe that they can communicate through our people as we translate for them. And I understand this is a compliment, but it's really rather obvious why you can't do what we do is because you're not called. The evangelist Jeremy Fraser put it this way: God does not necessarily call the enabled, but He does enable the called. I believe in the depths of my heart that if God truly calls you, He will provide the grace you need to fulfill His will in every single area of your life. Now, there are three distinct areas that first term of missionary service that are just vitally important: language, culture, and climate. Language, for us, is Portuguese. And the Portuguese language is not the hardest language in the world to learn. But saying that, it wasn't easy for me. And I remember when I first got to Brazil, I was thinking, boy, if I just have 1 week of language study, I'm going to be able to start communicating with the people in our church. And I, you know, after that first week, I there are some key phrases that I got down. Oi, which is hi. Ciao, which is bye. And key phrases like, onde está o banheiro? Where's the bathroom? You know, key phrases that are really going to help me connect with people, you know. And it just really wasn't like that. And I remember looking at a four-year-old little Portuguese or Brazilian guy, thinking, boy, that little guy speaks better Portuguese than I do. You know, and it's just that way. And folks, I had this American accent. Now, some folks think an American accent is really cool. Like the upper class think that's a really cool accent. The lower class is not so much. And they just, you know, they don't like that you have an accent at all. You know, but as I was in language school, 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, Darcy was in ministry. You know, Darcy's dad saw a need for a ladies' Sunday school class. It was the weakest Sunday school class in the church at New Life Baptist Church in Baruri, and asked Darcy if she would teach that ladies' class, and she did, and that class just grew and grew and grew. It was just wonderful to see. Went from one of the weakest classes to one of the strongest classes. There were new ladies coming all the time and trusting Christ as their Savior. Well, she's ministering. I'm floundering in this language school thing, but it was all part of it. And you just have to persevere. You have to just work at it and keep working at it and advancing. And that's what we're doing in missions, always advancing. Well, I remember the first time that I preached to the whole congregation. We had been doing junior church Wednesday nights, Darcy and I together, and we had a whole room full of kids, and it went well, and that was a blessing. So Darcy would kind of lead it, then I would do the Bible story, and I'd use flannel graph and all these things, and the kids were enjoying it. It was good. But the first time I preached to the whole congregation, Darcy's dad took the Easter message and divided it in three parts, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And I had 10 minutes to preach on the death of Christ. And I went and prepared, and I had to manuscript it. I word for word exactly what I was going to preach. And now, folks, I was a public speech minor at Bob Jones University, and I knew that wasn't the way to do it, but it was the only way I could do it. So I just did it that way. And I had a prop. I had an aluminum replica of a spike that was, you know, used at the cross, you know, and things. So I just used all that I could to help the people understand. And I preached, and the Brazilian people were just so encouraging. They were like, oh, Pastor Chris, that was such a blessing to hear you preach in front of the whole congregation for the first time. And I heard that over and over again. And the Brazilians were just so gracious. Well, we had two other families working with us. And the MKs, the missionary kids from those families, would call us aunt and uncle. And one of the MKs came up from one of the families and said, Uncle Chris, I didn't understand a word you said. A little deflating, you know. But praise the Lord, you just keep working at it. And you're always improving. Now, folks, I hit a level of Portuguese that I've hadn't reached before this last term, but I hope I continue to improve this next term. And it just keeps on, you know, keep on improving every single term. Remember, we had the Bob Jones University soccer mission team come down to Brazil, and they came to Oswaldo Cruz. Now, think about this. What are a group of college guys, American college guys, going to teach Brazilians about soccer? Absolutely nothing. That's not why they were there, okay? What it did provide for us was opportunities to minister to people that we would never minister to in any other way. So we would set up these soccer games, we would go to English schools, we would go to public schools, and wherever the Lord would open up doors, we went, and what a blessing it was. And it really helped us to meet people that we would never have met any other way. Well, one of the games I set up, I try to set up a game a day, they're usually there a couple days with us. One of the games I set up with the Ministry of Athletics was an indoor soccer game. Now, these guys from BJ were very good at playing on, you know, the field, you know, and, you know, on the pitch, and that was their thing. Well, indoor soccer in Brazil is very different than that, and the ball is small and weighted, and the Brazilians are just really fast with it. Their footwork is amazing. Well, by halftime of this game, the BJ guys were losing 10-0, and I'm thinking, what kind of testimony is this? But during the halftime, what we would do is get the two teams together, and we would have selective guys give their salvation testimony. We would translate that for the teams. And it was very interesting, just the Brazilian mindset and the culturally, after every testimony, they clapped. You know, that was a good story, you know, kind of thing. So, we did the halftime. I went up back up to my seat, and out of the game started, the second half started, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw there was a gal that entered the gymnasium, and it was the mayor's wife. And she saw me, and she came up to the stands where I was, and she said, "Pastor, we are so excited. My husband and I are so excited that this team is here. And I've called the newspaper to interview you. I've called the radio station. They're going to come and interview you after the game." And I thought, well, this is great. I'm going to have Pastor Yudi be the spokesman for this team. You know, Pastor Yudi, our Brazilian pastor. But he was out running errands. And I thought, you know, he'll be back. Yeah, I didn't have a cell phone then. He didn't have a cell phone. And I thought he was going to come right back. He didn't. And as the clock was running down, I realized the fact that I was the one who's going to have to do this interview. So I just really prayed. Pray that the Lord would just help me to be clear and help to minimize my accent so that on the radio people could understand. Well, the clock ran down to zero. The teams were milling around on the sideline. The guy from the radio station came with his remote equipment and motioned to me to meet him mid-court. So I did it. So as everyone's milling around the sideline, he's setting up his remote equipment, got a live feed, asked his first question, had this really long microphone, and put it to my mouth. The most perfect Portuguese I've ever spoken came out. And it was very interesting because our people who were hearing it live said to us that night at our service, they said, "Pastor, we knew it was your voice, but you were speaking as though you didn't have an accent." Folks, who did that? That was the Lord. Now, I wish I could put that in a jar and just use it whenever I need it. But the Lord just enabled me then at that moment for that specific task to be able to communicate in a way that folks could understand without any trouble. And we're just so grateful. So there's language, but there's also culture. Again, the Brazilians are warm and friendly. They're so glad that you're there learning their language to communicate with them. But crime is a problem in Brazil. We sent a picture of our home we were renting on our prayer update. One of our supporting pastors wrote back and said, "Chris, it looks like that wall is larger than your house." And it's not, you know, not quite, you know, but our walls are 8 to 10 feet tall. You know, they're masonry walls, they're block construction. And above the masonry wall, there's another 3 feet of electrical wire that goes around. And it's just the way we live. You know, we have that. Some houses have bars on the windows. We didn't have that. Warren and Lotta have two dogs, and this term we didn't have a dog. We have a nighttime guard. And so to all the neighbors pitch in for this nighttime guard, and he patrols the neighborhood all night from 10 o'clock to 6 in the morning. When we need to leave for an early morning flight, we call our nighttime guard, and he waits outside to make sure it's okay for us to go. And, you know, coast is clear, we can open our gate, and out we go. Now, folks, Darcy and I have reverse culture shock when we come to the States. We're in a farmhouse. It was built in 1863. We're back from the road, but we don't have a wall around our property. People come up and ring our doorbell, and they're right at our front door. We're used to them ringing the doorbell, and they're on the sidewalk, and we're talking to them on our interphone, whether to let them in or not. You know, so for us, we have reverse culture shock when we get to the States because we're just not used to it. Now, saying that, it's not like we live with our heads on a swivel. Not at all. But we're very aware of our surroundings. And there are times when we just don't feel good about a situation and we just get out of that situation. We leave from where we are the Lord just gives us wisdom. And it's just that way. So there's language, there's culture, but there's also climate. Remember when we were in language school, our professors wanted us to watch the evening news and watch the news presenters and how they manipulated their articulators to see how they would speak in Portuguese. And one of the things they would have was the state weather report for the state of São Paulo. And there was always the hottest city every single day was a city called Presidente Prudente. And I thought, oh, the poor schlubs that live in Presidente Prudente in that heat, you know, because São Paulo is relatively moderate. We live on a, you know, we lived on a plateau, elevated plateau, and the evenings were always cool. The hottest temperature ever in the city of São Paulo was 97 degrees. It never got any hotter than that, and that was unusual. It got that hot. Well, 97 degrees is fairly normal for Presidente Prudente on a summer day. It's just where we live, and it usually sometimes gets a lot hotter than that. But now we are there. And you know what? It was perfect for us. In Metro São Paulo, Darcy had a problem with asthma that she's always had ever since she was a little girl. Had this problem with asthma. And we got out to Oswaldo Cruz in the area of Presidente Prudente, and the asthma went away almost completely. The Lord knew we needed to be out there, and we knew we needed to plant churches out there too. But think of this. I'm a Wisconsinite. How does a Wisconsinite handle the weather in Presidente Prudente? It's all by the grace of God. God's sufficiency. Let me just read this for you. In 2 Corinthians 12 is the passage where Paul has the thorn in the flesh, and he entreats the Lord three times for God to remove that thorn in the flesh. And this is the Lord's response in verse 9. And he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My grace is sufficient. And it certainly is. The bottom line, if God has called you and you are obedient, He will be your sufficiency. He will provide the total measure of grace you need to fulfill His will in every area of your life. It is very important never to have a mindset that would limit what God can do through a surrendered life. The year 2021 marked the 60th anniversary of Darcy's parents' arrival in Brazil. Bob and Corrine Jones arrived on the field of Brazil in 1961. Neither one spoke Portuguese. Just a few short months after they arrived, Darcy's mom took her English-Portuguese dictionary to the maternity ward and gave birth to Darcy's older brother. Can you imagine that? But after 38 years of ministry, they planted six churches in and around the city of São Paulo, Brazil. They were greatly beloved by the Brazilians and by their missionary colleagues alike. Warren, our son, will turn 30 years old in July. He potentially, if the Lord tarries, has another 40 years of ministry in Brazil. If he would retire in the year 2062, our family would have over a 100-year presence in Brazil. How does that happen? It is only by God's sufficiency. Let's read our verses again. 2 Corinthians 3, 5 and 6. Not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who also hath made us sufficient to be ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're so grateful for your love and goodness to us. We're so grateful for your sufficiency. As you call and we are obedient, what a blessing to experience that sufficiency that enables us to fulfill your will. Oh, Lord, bless in a special way. I just pray that, Lord, there be decisions tonight that would be made that would be Christ-honoring and would really promote your cause here in Clarkston and in the surrounding region, but, Lord, also in other parts of the world as those who you have called are faithful to respond to that call and go wherever you would want them to go, knowing, Lord, that you are their sufficiency. Oh, Lord, bless in a special way. Now we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor?